Hi, welcome to That's My Purse Pod, the podcast all about King of the Hill. I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
All right, question of the week. How has your past, week or so been? We're actually recording this a little later, so you even have more days to, cover.
Gosh, my past week. That's tough. I feel like nothing crazy has happened. What did I do? I tried the Mountain Dew Flaming Hot flavor. I don't know if that's newsworthy.
Sure. I mean, let's go for it. Why not? How was it?
It's not good.
I feel like that was kind of a given. Flamin' Hot Cheetos are good. I can't imagine drinking them.
I do love Flamin' Hot Cheetos. I love Flamin' Hot Funyuns. If you ever get those are delicious. I guess if you like onion things, but I'm a big Mountain Dew fan, so I was like, I have to try this for science.
Exactly. I used to do that all the time. They'll make a new flavor of something, and I'll already know, or already in my heart of hearts know it's going to taste terrible, but I'm still going to be like, let's see what it's like.
Do you remember Pepsi Blue?
I do, and I actually loved that drink.
Oh my gosh, me too. That was the only thing I would drink in high school.
Yeah, it was around for a year and a half, and that was what I always got from the gas station was the Pepsi Blue. And then I was so upset when they got rid of it.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of tasted like berries, but it had its own unique taste.
Oh, apparently it's still available in the Philippines, so I know where I'm going for the summer.
Ooh, I wonder if I can, can we import that?
That's actually a good question. We're going to have to figure that one out.
Can I get it on Amazon?
If you have a friend in the Philippines, you can ask them to send them over, I guess. I know sometimes you can get really old stuff on the internet. eBay or whatnot. Some weirdo would keep a Crystal Pepsi from 1992 and put it on there. And inevitably, it might take a while, but somebody's going to buy it.
Okay. Two Pepsi Blues. They expire in August of last year.
I'm sure it's still good for you.
$20.
All right. I would do it. Let me see. I'm actually looking at them now, too. Oh, I see the actual empty bottle that you can buy for $50 on eBay.
If I would have known I could have sold my Pepsi Blues, I wouldn't have been drinking them.
We didn't have the foresight to know that they were going to... I thought it was going to be a permanent thing because I was like, oh my gosh, look at how amazing this flavor is. This is... Why wouldn't Pepsi want to keep this?
Did you know Pepsi made a Peeps flavor drink?
No, and that sounds gross. I don't even like Peeps, and I mean, I'm neutral to Peeps. I don't hate it, but it's not something I seek out. But I can't imagine just drinking Peeps.
I always think I like Peeps, but then I realize I don't. It's always after Easter when Peeps are $1 for 100 of them. When you go to Walgreens or CVS and they have discounted Easter stuff.
Oh gosh. Now I'm starting to look back. So when I was in high school, this was kind of, and in college a little bit too, the thing I was kind of known for amongst other things, was I absolutely had to try every new candy and every new soda that came out, all the novelty stuff that came out. I immediately had to try. They would create a Starburst that was sour. This was maybe in 2005, 2006, something like that. And I went to with my friend, I went to four different gas stations to find it.
Starburst sour. I never heard of that. I know Skittle sour.
Yeah, I think it, I mean, I don't think it exists anymore, but it was a thing.
I mean, not to keep talking about food, but did you ever have like the jalapeno M&Ms?
This is honestly the first I've heard of it. I did not even know that was a thing.
Yeah, they were M&Ms, but they were jalapeno flavor, and I love them. Because I think when you think jalapeno, you think of pickled jalapenos and like that sour spicy. These were like garden jalapenos. So it didn't have that like bitter taste. I enjoyed it.
Interesting. Now, I know one thing I've noticed. So like if you go to Asia, and it's kind of known, but you go to Asia, there's a bunch of different like weird Kit Kat flavors in Japan and stuff. The interesting fact is it's because Kit Kat is made by a different company. So in America, it's made by Hershey. And in Asia or other parts of the world, it's made by Nestle. And Hershey was very much like, no, these are our staple flavors, and this is what a Kit Kat is. Whereas Nestle is like, let's just go nuts and make a bunch of flavors. But now, like, you know, when I old timer here, when I was growing up, but when I was younger, like, there were three flavors of Kit Kats. There was chocolate, there was dark chocolate, and then at one point, I think they introduced like white chocolate, and that was it. And then now, like, there's a blueberry muffin and a mint tea and all this other stuff in America. Like, but then you go to, like, that was one of the novelties to go to Asia is like, oh, snap, I just bought some banana Kit Kats and some sake Kit Kats and stuff like that.
Do they come in, like, the same size, like the four Kit Kat bar size?
The ones in America,
because I've seen them in the tiny ones.
The ones in America do. The ones in America come in the normal size. In Japan, it's always like those tiny two-part or two-piece ones, almost always. I think there are some exceptions where it's not that, but generally speaking, that's what it always is.
We should be having more fun with our candy. Like, Hershey should just be like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We're making a crazy Reese's. I love Reese's. Reese's is my favorite candy. And my only problem with Hershey Company, if you're listening to this podcast, thank you, first of all. But second, stop trying to put Reese's pieces in other Reese's things. I don't like them in other Reese's products.
Well, and then they're also good on their own. Like, do we need to put a Reese's peanut butter cup, like have a Reese's peanut butter cup inception where we have a peanut butter cup and a peanut butter cup? Like, come on. There's, like, Reese's in itself is great. We don't need to, like, mess with that formula.
No, yeah, peanut butter, chocolate, perfect.
Exactly. Now, other things, absolutely. Like, I am all for them making, like, the other day I saw a blueberry muffin Kit Kat. So I'd be all for, like, something like that. Or a mango-flavored Hershey bar. Like, all that, I'm good. But, like, peanut butter and chocolate, so basic. But it's perfect. You don't need to go crazy over it.
Now, peanut butter and chocolate, it's great the way it is. I don't think, we don't really need to add much. I think one time they added a marshmallow.
That's all right. I could accept that.
You know, but other than that, not that we're not off topic already, but if you're ever making s'mores, get yourself a Reese's. Like, you're not going to make all Reese's, but like get like a little Reese's and then do a s'mores with a Reese's cup instead of a Hershey's chocolate. That's living life. That's like baller s'more right there.
I'm going to have to try that next time I'm making s'mores if I remember. I do love Reese's though, so I'm pretty sure I'll think about it and remember it.
That's a tip I'm giving to all of you, all you listeners out there.
That is absolutely something
I'm going to try. S'mores with a Reese's.
Absolutely something I'm going to try. Maybe even this weekend. Why not? It's not like I have a lot of other things to do. But yeah, what do you think with Hank? Like, do you think he'd go with a wild flavor candy, or do you think he would go with your regular normal stuff?
Hank seems like... I don't think Hank's eating a chocolate product. Maybe he's like butterscotch guy. Like he has some butterscotches.
Yeah. Maybe. Like, oh yeah, like our Werther's original or something like that.
Oh yeah, I could see him. Something with like a, yeah, I guess that would be. Or maybe he's a dots guy. He likes dots.
Yeah, maybe. Or saltwater taffy. Like some, or like Necco wafers. Hank Hill eats Necco wafers, absolutely.
But how was your week? What have you been up to?
Oh, not much. Just same old, busy stuff. Though I did go get brunch with a friend on the weekend, and then we wandered around town a little bit. But I took the dog over to the park, which was fun. We went to Strawberry Hill, which has like its little hill on an island in a lake in Golden Gate Park. So it was really cool showing my friend that.
Oh, nice. Man, I haven't been to brunch in such a long time. I miss brunch.
Yeah, there's a while that we weren't doing it because of COVID and everything, but now that things are opening up again and whatnot, I've been doing it more, so yay.
Oh, now I want to go to Kirby Lane, and I know they're open, because they're always open.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they definitely are. Yeah, but let's jump in, because my week was boring, and we talked about more interesting things about chocolate, like chocolate. Let's go ahead and just jump straight into the show and talk about, let's talk about Peggy Hill and the Peggy Horror Picture Show, which is one of the later episodes. So, you know, 13 season show. This is season 11, the first episode of season 11. And it is very, it just gives us a very different look of Peggy. And it kind of makes us empathize with her, but then she also gets like a, you know, a decent life lesson at the end. So, you know, without enough of me talking about it, let's just jump right in. The episode starts with like a clothing exchange, and I believe it's at the Hill House or the Gribble House. I was not paying close enough attention to know whose house it's in. But anyway, Luann, Nancy, Min, and Peggy are all getting together, and they brought their clothes together, and they're wanting to try this clothes exchange thing that they're reading in a like in a woman's magazine. I guess they're like, okay, so how does this work? And Nancy's like, well, the magazine says here that somebody grabs a piece of clothing from the floor, and then the first person who calls dibs gets it. And then Min's like, oh, like a key party. And everybody just kind of gives her a look, and then she's like, so I've heard. So then they start with the thing, and then Nancy's like, okay, these are my maroon boots. I've only worn them once, and then I stopped wearing maroon. And Peggy calls dibs and tries to put them on, but she has, like, gargantuan feet. That's kind of like the running joke in the show. You know, I think her feet are, like, size 16 or something like that. So, you know, compared to the other ladies who have, like, size 4, 5, maybe 6, that's just not going to work. So she realizes it doesn't fit. Luann grabs it. It fits perfectly. Then Peggy like goes and says, okay, how about these shorts? They're good for the PTA meeting and good for going to the shopping mall or going to the grocery store. And Luann's like, Aunt Peggy, culottes aren't cool, even though cool is in the name. And Peggy's starting to feel a little bad. And Nancy's like, oh, don't worry. Somebody will want these overalls. And I think it's becoming clear that, like, of the four, Peggy is like the least, I guess, traditionally feminine, you could say. So she's feeling a little, she's feeling a little upset and whatnot. And next day it's morning and Hank sees her and it's like, hey, how was the clothing exchange? Did anybody like your softball jersey? And Peggy said, oh, well, they wanted men's, you know, flip-flops instead. And, you know, Peggy's feeling a little self-conscious. So she's like, Hank, you think I'm feminine, don't you? And then Hank's like, of course you're feminine. You're a wife and a mother. And then, Hank's like, you know what? I'm going to treat you to a pair of shoes. So why don't you go to Lubbock? And we've actually, so this is not an episode we've covered yet. There is an episode that kind of establishes that Peggy goes to this specialty shoe store all the way in Lubbock to buy her big shoes. Part of it is, I guess it's a specialty store, but it's also that allows her to buy incognito. And so she's like, yeah, sure, that'd be great. And then Peggy kind of ends it with like, oh, and Hank, you're wearing my jeans again, which kind of like nails the whole, is she that feminine kind of thing. So yeah, a lot happens. Ultimately, you know, Peggy started to feel a little self-conscious because she doesn't feel as womanly as the others in the show do. Understandably so, because I don't know, like, she does kind of, in the show, sometimes she does come across as a little grumpy, if you will. But, like, I feel like they were really overdoing it in this episode to, like, make a point.
Yeah, especially at the key, or not the key party, the clothing swap party. At the end, after, like, none of Peggy's things are going, she, Min's like, can't open the jar of olives. And then Peggy takes the jar and opens it real quick for her.
Yes, she uses the culottes to open it.
So, I mean, Peggy's just a sensible dresser, right?
Yeah, she is. But there's episodes, now granted, it's one of those, you know, TV shows, so obviously, even though they'll have her wearing the same clothes because that's what they do in cartoons, every once in a while she does just fine. Like, she's wearing a dress and stuff like that. So yeah, they definitely do seem like they're really trying to, like, tell a story here. But also, I guess if you compare her, like, she does feminine stuff, but if you compare her to the other women, she's probably the least feminine. But to say that she's, like, more masculine than feminine, I don't find that to be a fair assessment at all.
I mean, I don't want to, like, I don't think they're, I think Peggy's just more sporty, and she's more, like, out there, because she does more, like, sports things, and she's more athletic, so, like, her clothes are jerseys and things like that that she brings to the swap meet. Well, like, Min and, oh my gosh, now I can't remember, oh, Nancy. You know, I feel like they're going to more, like, parties and dinners.
True.
And things like that.
Though Luann plays softball.
True, but Luann's, like, young. I don't... Yeah. And, like, we barely see any of these women in, like, different clothes.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I mean, Min and Nancy, especially Nancy's definitely more dainty, if you will. But, yeah, and it's funny because, you know, this is, like, one of the... There are a few episodes where we see Peggy is self-conscious about her looks. You don't see a lot of it. But, like, this is kind of one of the few times we see her actually, like, lower her guard and be honest about how she feels. When she was like, you know.
Yeah. It is weird. I mean, yeah, I like you were pointing out with the clothes thing. Because I know, like, every now and then they'll talk about how big her feet are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something she's really self-conscious about.
Yep.
But, like, now they're kind of like, you don't dress well either, so.
Or, yeah. Or you dress like a man. Is really what
they're doing. True. Oh, they nailed it home with Hank wearing her jeans. But
yeah, because it's like, Hank's, you know, Hank's not, like, a skinny dude or anything. He's not a fat dude either. But he's like a, you know, a normal-sized dude. Granted, we also have to put in there, what is it, that there's an episode that explains that Hank doesn't have a butt, so that might contribute to it, but still.
Oh, but that means Peggy doesn't have a butt either.
That's true. So we go to at the Gribbles house, Bobby and Joseph. This is kind of the B plot for the show, or for the episode rather. Bobby and Joseph have bought this, like, joke book that has a list of pranks. And now, you know, just like teenage boys, they're so excited about the fact that they're going to be able to prank everybody they know. And Dale walks in and he asks Joseph where his switchblade comb is. And then Joseph, like, I told you already, I broke it. And then Dale's like, oh, all right, I'm sorry. Like, it's just funny to see that Dale's not mad about it or anything. In fact, he's like apologizing. Like, oh, I'm sorry that I annoyed you with that question. But then they decide, hey, let's do a prank on your dad. Dale's talking about there's a coup going on at the gun club, and he wants to be the new president, and he's got that that pre-coup jitters and stuff, and they're like, you know what you need is a 25-cent massage. So they get out this quarter and they get the black magic marker and stain the edges of it, and then they tell Dale to rub the quarter all over his face, and you know, that's how you give yourself the massage. And then so he's like, all right, sure, yeah. And then he does that, and now he's got like all these black lines all over his face, but he's none the wiser, and he goes and heads out to the coup. So everybody's like, the boys are tailing him so they can see what happens. We jump back to Peggy. She is on the phone. She calls that shoe store, and it's closed. It's now a dog bakery, of all things. And so, you know, Peggy decides to go on the internet and see, you know, hey, maybe I can do a search and find another shoe store that sells stuff my size. Luann comes in and almost condescendingly talks to Peggy about the bracelet she got. It's like, it's something some women wear. And then Peggy's like, I know what a bracelet is. Peggy searches for a large shoe store in Texas and finds one. And she finds a store that's just full of big shoes. So she's happy. We're going to follow up on the gun club really quickly. They mentioned that they've locked the leader in the closet, and they decide to start voting, and it's either between Earl or Dale. Dale has not shown up yet, so they're like, well, Earl, you win by default. Dale shows up, and he has the marker on his face, and the boys are kind of outside looking into the gun club, getting ready to look at, you know, to see Dale get laughed at for having the goofy face and whatnot, but everybody's like, Dale's wearing war paint. I'm with Dale. And everybody starts marking up their faces, and then they decide to vote for Dale to be president of the gun club. So the boys are disappointed because it was a completely different outcome.
I think it's hilarious thinking about Joseph and Bobby riding their bikes all the way to the gun club area to see the end of this prank.
Yeah, that's a good point. And they also arrived at the same time as Dale, pretty much. So was Dale, I mean, I know we shouldn't think too hard about it, but were they pedaling their bikes super fast, or was Dale going super slow? Or maybe they know where the gun club is and they just like cut through some woods or something.
Yeah. Back when I first watched this episode, I thought about the 25-cent massage thing. I was like, but who wants to run a quarter all over their face?
I don't know. I mean, he said it was as relaxing as smoking once was for him. So maybe, I don't know. I mean, I probably have some quarters lying around. Maybe I can give it a shot and see what, and report back if it's if it is indeed therapeutic. But yeah, it's just funny because he's it's funny because Dale's just like oblivious to it, and the prank just doesn't work out the way they want it to. I guess it still worked. Like, it had a positive outcome, but it didn't have the outcome they wanted, where Dale gets laughed at or punched or whatever. I don't know what their ultimate outcome was going to be. What they wanted, I guess they wanted to laugh at him. I don't know. Like, that would have been funny.
Oh, man. I don't know. Yeah, I guess the outcome was to embarrass Dale, but yeah. Instead it made him the president.
Yeah, made him loved. But yeah, hey, Peggy has a new shoe stop shop now, so that's pretty cool. We should feel happy for her. So we join her back at the store, and she runs into a woman named Carolyn, and you know, they start talking and they shake hands, and Peggy's like, I'm usually the one who hears this not say it. Nice grip. They chat a little bit, and then we jump forward a little bit to Peggy being at home, and you know, she's trying out her clothes and she's wearing them, but then she's also like acting it out, if you will. Like she's what's the word I'm looking for? Like she's wearing the clothes and pretending she's in different scenarios, like she's at a dinner party or something. Hank walks in and is like, oh, who are you talking to? And then Peggy's like, oh, I'm just trying this out in different scenarios. My friend Carolyn, or this woman I met named Carolyn, told me about it. And, you know, she's a very interesting woman. She wears gloves. And then Hank's like, huh, that is interesting. Which was, like, and it was a genuine response from him, which was really funny. But Peggy is like, oh, this is great because I've never felt this kind of camaraderie with any woman before that I've ever met. And, you know, Hank's like, oh, well, it's good that you have somebody to talk to about these things now.
No, I was going to say, yeah, Hank is like very excited about Peggy not having to talk about these things with her. I can see at this moment he's already like, and this is one of those things you could talk to with your new friend, Carolyn.
Yeah, because Hank's just not good with his feelings. I mean, there's been plenty of episodes in the show to signify that. So, you know, he's definitely not the husband you can be emotional with.
And I also think when Peggy's trying on the clothes, like, she's calling a taxi. I believe that's one of the things she's doing. And I'm like, man, how many times do you think... I've never called a taxi in my life. Like, I've called them on the phone to, like, meet me somewhere. But I've never, like, hailed a cab before. Have you?
I have, but that was in New York. Like, I've never done that in Texas. Because usually, you know, I've hailed cabs also in other countries. Like, I've done it in Seoul and Japan, Tokyo before. But generally speaking, yeah, I've never, you know, stood on the side of a road and put a cab up. And even nowadays, you can't really do that anymore because even the cabs have apps now. So usually you see a cab driving around. They're not, they're picking up a fare. It's not that they already have one.
Yeah. But next time I buy new clothes or try on clothes, I will practice them. I will practice hailing a cab. Perfect. If it looks good, then I'll purchase.
Perfect. Get you ready for your time out in New York City.
Yes.
So the next day, Peggy's hanging out with Carolyn again, and they are at a restaurant eating chicken curry sandwiches together, which apparently is Oprah's favorite food at this point in time anyway. And then Carolyn's like, oh, Peggy, you finished that whole sandwich. And then Peggy's feeling a little self-conscious because she's like, oh, I know, it wasn't very feminine. But Carolyn's like, and you didn't smear any of your lipstick. How did you do that? And so, like, Peggy's a little happy because now, like, oh, this person appreciates this quirk of mine, not totally turned off by it. So, you know, she explains that she peels her lips back like I guess a shark that she saw on a Nature Channel. And that's how she eats it. And Carolyn copies and like, oh, this is great because I do this show. And, you know, in between numbers, I like to eat a snack so I don't pass out. Yeah, they're driving home. Peggy's driving them back home. And she's like, oh, I always drive with the high beams on, which means I absolutely hate her because I hate people who drive with the high beams on when they have absolutely no reason to do that. But I digress. So then Carolyn responds about like why Peggy, you know, asking, oh, where, Peggy, why do you wear glasses? Is it because you're afraid of the laser surgery? You know, because, you know, the closest I ever want to get to a laser is front row in a Chaka Khan concert. And Peggy's like, oh, no, it's just because, you know, the glasses make me look younger because it hides like the lines and thin brows and wrinkles and all that stuff. And then, again, she is impressed to learn this. And so Carolyn's like, really just taking in everything Peggy says. And Peggy's starting to feel like womanly and stuff, which is nice. For her. And yeah, they go over to the house and Peggy drops them off at the Carolyn off at the I guess it's the Casa Linda apartments, which we see many times in the show. And you know, she's like, oh, if there weren't a parking break in between us, I think that we were attached at the hip. And then apparently it hints that, oh, the parking break's up, which kind of suggests that maybe she was driving with the parking brake on the whole time. Which is kind of funny, but yeah, Carolyn goes home, goes inside. I guess Carolyn lives with the mother. It's not clear, but the fact that mother's already there. Anyway, the mother's there and asks questions, and Carolyn talks about how she met a great person named Peggy, and then Carolyn removes her wig, and it reveals that Carolyn is actually a man. Carolyn's a drag queen, and she's like, I have no idea what his real name is, though. this is going to be the quote-unquote conflict of the show, is that Carolyn is actually a drag queen.
I don't know about you, but I tried to eat my sandwich. Like, the way, after I saw this episode, I tried to eat my sandwich. Like Peggy does. And I cannot move my teeth forward and pull my lips back.
I've never tried it, but it feels, I would think it would be uncomfortable or difficult.
I feel like we were set up to know that Caroline was a drag queen, but did you know before the reveal?
See, it's hard to tell for me to know because it's been a long time since the first time I've seen that episode. So it's really hard for me to say. I don't think I thought that Carolyn was a drag queen the first time I saw it, albeit, what, 15 years ago?
Yeah, I guess so. That was quite a while.
But it's also one of those things, like, when you watch it again after having seen the reveal, like, there are a bunch of subtle hints. Some you could argue being stereotypes, but, like, all of Carolyn's interests being, like, the stereotypical gay or drag queen preferences, like Chaka Khan and Cher and Celine Dion and stuff. So they were, like, subtle hints, like, after watching it the second time around, but the first time around, I definitely did not get it.
I know. I do like her mom, though. Because, I don't know. Her mom is super supportive. Caroline's mom is super supportive. Like, overly supportive.
Yes. Overly supportive. Just like, don't let anybody tell you you're different. That whole mindset. Before this happens, Peggy asks about Carolyn's show, and Carolyn says, oh, you know, it's a show I go up on, and I go and I sing different songs, you know, by Liza, Celine, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, Peggy's like, oh, that sounds cool. I want to do this too. And so she signed up to do it. So they're doing the practice at Peggy's house, doing To I'm Every Woman, and they're kind of strutting and dancing and all that jazz, and Hank walks in, and then Peggy introduces Carolyn to Hank, and, you know, Hank's very friendly, and then Bobby walks by, and Carolyn is introduced to Bobby, and, you know, now she's like, oh, so did you guys adopt? And then Peggy's like, nope, and I have the stretch marks to prove it, and, you know, she kind of talks about how she's trying to get rid of it, and Carolyn's looking around and sees wedding photos with Hank, and then sees a picture of Peggy pregnant and stuff like that. She kind of finally puts together that, oh, Peggy is a natural woman. And so Carolyn, like, excuses herself and rushes out and heads back home to her mom. And mom's, again, super supportive. She's like, mom, I've got bad news. Peggy's a woman. And then his mom's like, you mean a natural woman. You're just as much of a woman as she is. It's like, mom, can you stop being supportive for 1 second and listen to me? She was supposed to be in the drag show with me, but she can't because, I can't. It's cheating to have an actual woman in a drag show. It's like, do whatever you need to do, honey, but don't let them clip your wings. So, it was super funny seeing all that because, like, the realization that Carolyn has, and then Peggy revealing the whole her having stretch marks and whatnot, which I also think kind of shows that Peggy's now getting comfortable with Carolyn, like, because at one point she even, like, lifts up her shirt to reveal it, which I feel like is something Peggy would not have done with even, like, Min or Nancy.
Yeah, I think Peggy had a C-section. Not to, like, get into it, but, like, because after she lifts her shirt up, she's like, this is what it kind of looks like when you've been stabbed from a whole bunch of different angles.
Yeah, or I think it's, like, the stretch marks, too, because when a lot of times they don't go away, and so it looks really weird. I mean, I've been there as well myself, so I speak from experience.
I also am, like, I thought there's a couple moments I love, like, one of the first moments when Caroline asks Peggy to do the show with her, and then she's like, but you got to bring your own lashes. And he's like, I always do.
Yeah. I love how supportive the mom is as well. It's just so funny.
Oh, man. Also, I mean, if Caroline thought she was a drag queen, what's the harm in doing one show with her? Maybe she can fool everyone else.
Maybe. Too. But maybe Carolyn is like a stickler for the rules and knows that like having an actual woman, like I don't even think it's she's worried that Peggy will perform better than the other girls just as much as it's the fact that I think she's like, well, this is supposed to be for drag queens and having a non-drag queen is like, it breaks the rules. So maybe she's just a stickler for the rules. But yeah, I don't know. I guess we're going to have to figure out what's going to happen next, but let's go ahead and see what the boys are up to. Maybe if these pranks are starting to work again. They're doing like one of the oldest pranks in the book with Bill. In the alley, they put like a dollar bill on like a string. And as Bill sees it and goes to pick it up, they yank the string and pull it away further. And, you know, they're pulling it across the street and Bill's following it. And all of a sudden this car comes and it looks like it's going to hit him, but it swerves to avoid him and winds up hitting a tree. And it's a drunk woman, like clearly not just by her behavior, but when they open the car door and she moves, you hear like beer cans moving around, so, empty beer cans. So it's like, oh, she's clearly a drunk. And she's like, oh, you know, Bill comes up, is like, are you all right? She's like, I'm all right now that I see you. And Bill's like, oh, I've never seen eyes so big and dilated before. And it's like, I'm in no shape to be driving. You want to drive for me? And then Bill gets in, and then they drive away. Bobby and Joseph are like, did you see his face? Yeah, he looked happy. I know this prank book isn't working. Peggy is prepping for the drag show. She's getting ready to head to the car. She's all dolled up. Hank comes out, and he's like carrying a feather boa, but it's like, he's like pinching it with his fingers. Like I don't know, he's afraid he'll catch a disease from it or something, or doesn't want to be seen carrying it. But he gives it to Hank Hank gives it to Peggy, and Peggy's like, okay, yeah, thank you. And Hank's like, okay, I'll be there in the front row. And Peggy advises like, oh no, they like to embarrass people in the front row. And so Hank's like, okay, I'll sit in the back. Min and Nancy happen to come out and ask Peggy, you know, oh, why are you so dolled up? Why is your hair so big? Yada, yada, yada. And Peggy mentions she's doing a show and invites them over and gives them the tickets. That shows the show has a 5-drink minimum, which is insane. Like, remember when we would go to comedy clubs, it's not even a 2-drink minimum, it's a 2-item minimum. You can get like 2 sodas or nachos and, you know, stuff like that. Nachos and a beer. It's 5 drinks.
As soon as I saw this, I thought of Cap City Comedy Club.
Yep.
And then I was like, I miss those hush puppies.
Yes. Anybody who lived in Austin and went to Cap City before they closed, they had these hush puppies that were pretty awesome. And the nachos. They had like this monster nacho plate.
I will say the food wasn't like horrible at Cap City.
No.
Like I ate it. It was good. But 5-drink minimum is a lot.
Yeah. I like how Peggy's like, don't get drunk. I don't want you to embarrass me. And then she gets in the car and drives away. Some time passes, I guess Hank's just kind of hanging out with the guys at the fence like he does. And Bill asks, like, what does it mean when instead of a purse, a woman carries a tattered grocery bag, obviously referring to the woman he just met. Jamie, who is the male alter of Caroline, drives up. And, you know, Hank's a little confused. Or who's this random guy we've never met before? And it's like, oh, where's Peggy? And she's like, she's not here. Who are you? And he's like, oh, I'm Jamie. I'm a friend of Carolyn's. And then, then all the Hank's demeanor change. Oh, Carolyn, she's quite a swell woman. Hey, you want a beer? And Jamie, clearly not a beer drinker because he kind of hesitates, but he also sees all the men just staring at him. So he's like, I say, where have you been all this morning? And he just kind of grabs the can and asks, you know, where's Peggy? And Hank's like, oh, she's not here. She went to the costume shop or something. She said she had a sequin emergency. I asked her to call it something else, but she insisted. But she said she'd head over to the club. So then Jamie's like, okay, well, thank you. And then he gently places the beer can on the street and then drives away.
I love that the guys are like, we're going to use that joke.
Oh, yeah, where have you been all morning? Yeah, the guys were, like, totally fine with it all.
Also, it's the morning, and they're like, in the alley drinking beer already?
Yeah. I did not catch that. You're right.
Because he's not like, where have you been all day? It's like, where have you been all morning?
Yeah, that's true. Or maybe, you know, maybe he just had nervous energy and he didn't know. And like, he just splurted out the first thing he could think about.
I do love this scene, just like, because sometimes you can be like, oh, the guys in the alley are like very stereotypical guys. And they're very unapproachable, this group of four. But Jamie comes in and they're all like, they love Jamie. The joke like makes them all laugh. And they're, I feel like they would have welcomed him in.
Probably.
If he wanted to stay.
Probably. They probably would have. But yeah, Jamie goes ahead and heads to the club. And we see Peggy at the club and getting ready for the drag show. And she's still none the wiser on what's really going on. Because everybody in the back in the drag show is already in drag. It's not like she's watching men getting dressed or anything. At least not at this point. It's funny because she sees a person dressed up like Diana Ross. And then she's like, if she wasn't dead, I would have thought she were the real thing. And at the time, I need to look it up. I don't know that Diana Ross is dead, and she definitely wasn't dead at the time of that episode. So it's kind of a funny saying for her to say. Yeah, she's still alive, 78 years old. But yeah, so Peggy says that, and then Carolyn walks in full drag, and Carolyn's like, Peggy, we got to talk. And Peggy's like, oh, you know, that Diana Ross is like, it looked just like the real thing. And, you know, Carolyn's like, Peggy, you can't go on. It's like, why? It's like, you know, Carolyn takes a big breath and explains that, you know, Carolyn's a drag queen and that this is a drag show. And, you know, Peggy's like, what isn't, aren't drag queens men and stuff? And Carolyn's like, yes. And then it kind of hits Peggy and realizes that, oh, Carolyn thought Peggy was a drag queen. And so it really upsets her. And, you know, she's like, well, you, I mean, you have the same size feet as me, and you were shopping at the Closet. That's a store for drag queens, which, I mean, it's, I guess I don't understand. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with stores for drag queens. The point I'm making is, like, Ireland is a small town in Texas. I don't feel like they would have enough business to maintain a store for drag queens, but maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, if everyone at this club is shopping there.
Yeah, I guess so. I feel like Ireland being a small town, even if they did have drag queens, they probably wouldn't have enough to sustain. But maybe it's like, maybe that's the shop for like all drag queens in like a 100-mile radius. I don't know. Mm. Like, maybe that's the only one. I don't know. But yeah, so then Peggy is like upset, and Carolyn's like, if it makes you feel better, you're the best I've ever seen. And she's like, it doesn't. And then the women come in and Peggy just cries and runs out.
Go ahead. I love Min at this point. I forgot what Min says, but she's like, she busts in and makes some kind of thing about like, why is everyone so tall in here? Or like,
yeah, she says something like that.
And it's hilarious. I also like when Peggy says like, aren't drag queen men? And Caroline's like, yes, I would take my wig off, but it's so close to close to showtime.
Yeah. It's like, aren't drag queen men? I am a man. I would take off my wig to prove it, but it's so close to show. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man, that line is hilarious. I mean, I feel bad. This is all Peggy's expense, but this is a pretty funny moment at the club.
So Peggy's upset. She's at home. She's in her bathrobe, and she's kind of sulking in the living room. And they have one of those sliding patio doors. And so Luann and Min and Nancy are out there trying to, you know, comfort her, make her feel better, not doing a really good job. You know, Luann's like, oh, sorry, everyone thought you were a man. And then Nancy's like, you coach a women's softball league. If that isn't feminine, I don't know what is. And then Min, of course, makes things worse. Like, you're making things worse. You want to get punched in the face? That woman has fists like frozen turkeys. And of course, Luann's like, Peggy's like, you're not helping. And then she closes the shades on the sliding door. And Hank comes in and phone's ringing. And, you know, Peggy assumes that it's Carolyn. And Peggy's like, you know, don't answer it. And Hank's like, well, that's like lying. Fine, then I'm not here. But that's a lie, too. And Hank picks up the phone and it's like, oh, hi, Carolyn. Peggy's not here, and hangs up. And Peggy's mad, like, did she think you were me? I am a man, after all. And Hank's confused. He doesn't know what's going on. And Peggy tries to explain the whole situation to him. It's like, Carolyn is a drag queen. And Hank doesn't understand what a drag queen is. Like, Carolyn is a man who dresses up like a woman. And, like, this just totally confuses Hank. He's like, wait, that makes no sense. And then Peggy keeps it on, like, and I guess I'm a woman who looks like a man. And it's so upsetting because this is the first time, like, I've ever felt feminine in my life and I felt good and stuff. And only to realize that it was a man who liked me. I've never felt so ugly. And Hank's just, like, I don't think it's that he's not listening. I think he just doesn't get it. And he's still hung up on the idea of a drag queen and stuff. It's like, this sounds like something you should talk to your lady friends about. How about that, Carolyn? And then, you know, Peggy obviously gets angry and stuff. So Hank walks to the next room and calls Carolyn and gets Jamie, which is funny because Hank calls Carolyn and, you know, is looking for Jamie. Jamie's there and he sets up a meet with Jamie, and they go and meet at a juice bar where Hank orders orange juice or regular orange juice. He just wants it regular, none of the fancy Jamba juice stuff you get. And they ask him, like, oh, what nutrient booster do you want? He's like, oh, no, I don't need any more nutrients. I'm having a steak later. And Hank, like, tries to talk to Jamie and saying, you know, this is something I can't talk to the other guys about, but I think Carolyn and Peggy had a fight, and has she said anything? It's like, Carolyn said a lot. She values Peggy and respects her, which should be more like her. And, you know, Hank's like, oh, well, can you talk to Carolyn and see if you can help patch this up? And it's clear that Hank completely thinks that Carolyn and Jamie are two completely separate people. It hasn't fully clicked with him that they're the same person, but you know, Jamie guarantees that Carolyn and Peggy will patch things up. And it's funny because Hank's like, wow, you really understand women. And of course, you know, it's one of those like wink, wink, nod, nod things to the audience.
Is Jamba Juice still a thing?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, I haven't seen one in a long time.
I think there's one in San Francisco that I pass by every now and again, like just on my commute or whatever. But yeah, it's not something that I see a lot. I think they actually just call themselves Jamba now.
Every time I see this episode, I laugh so hard when Hank's like, I don't need any more nutrients. I'm having a steak later.
Yep. And this is one of the few times that I've actually legit felt bad for Peggy because, like, okay, like her feet being so big and her build and whatnot, you know, that's just genetics. It's not her fault. It's not like, you know, she's trying to be that way. And, you know, hey, she owns who she is. This is how she likes to dress and stuff. But, you know, she just, because of her body and everything, she doesn't feel super feminine. And now she finally did. And now she's like feels uglier than she ever has before. Like, I legit felt bad for her in this episode.
Yeah, I also feel bad that Hank is not getting any of these. She's like, Caroline's a man. He's like, well, that doesn't make sense at all.
Yeah, I think Hank is just so old school, if you will, or so just out of it and doesn't understand the concept of a man willingly dressing up like a woman, especially because, at least the way she's drawn, Carolyn does look like a woman, not like, you know, like somebody like Dale or Bill just throwing a dress on or whatnot. It's like properly dressed up. So I think Hank just can't. His brain can't compute this. We have one more prank from the boys. Bobby and Joseph are at school and they do the old prank where you like reverse screw on the salt shaker to where it looks like it's on there, but then somebody goes to shake it and wind up spilling the whole thing on their food. And they do that to Connie, and Connie just covers her lunch in salt. And then, like, within a few seconds of that happening, some girls walk by and say, "Oh, sorry that happened to your lunch. You want to have some of our pizza? My mom gave me a credit card, and I've been going crazy." And so, like, now Connie's made new friends. She gets to eat pizza, and she's met these girls and stuff. And Bobby's just like, "I don't get it. None of these pranks are working." And then Joseph's like, "This is a magic book. It's like, whatever you do, the person's dreams come true." He's like, "Come on, prank me." And then Bobby's like, "Okay, if your hand is as big as your face, then you're handsome," or something like that. And, you know, Joseph puts his hand up to his face, and Bobby smacks it. And Joseph's like, "Am I handsome now? Am I handsome?" So it's funny, because I also kind of feel bad for Bobby, but I also feel good for everybody else, because, like, the pranks wound up working in the favor of everybody. But I also kind of understand that, being a 13-year-old boy and wanting to prank people, and the joke not working out the way you wanted it to.
Have you ever fell for that joke where they're like, "If your hand is bigger than your face, blah, blah, blah"?
No.
And then you do it, and then... Oh, as a kid, I fell for that, like, all the time. And as a child, I try to, like, recreate it with other people, and no one would ever fall for it.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I've fallen for a lot of dumb stuff in my life, but not that one. So let's see. We wrap up this episode. We're getting ready to wrap up this episode. We're at the Hill House. Carolyn comes over and wants Peggy to come with her. Peggy's not interested. She's like, "Am I going to be humiliated?" And Carolyn swears on mother's undying support that they won't. And Hank's like, "Peggy, go with Carolyn. I think this will make things better." And so Peggy agrees, and Carolyn asks Peggy to bring her trash bag full of clothes and to hurry. Then Peggy's like, "Why?" It's like, it's just more interesting this way. They head back to the drag club, and, you know, Carolyn just dumps out all the clothes in the middle, and all the drag queens are, like, just super excited, and they're digging through it and getting different clothes and whatnot. And Peggy's like, "So this is what you wanted to show me? A bunch of men are interested in my clothing?" And, you know, Carolyn points out, "Yes, a bunch of men that want to look like women." And then Peggy's like, "Huh, well, don't you all like to, you know, daintier, prettier women?" And they're like, "Nah, those are girls are a dime a dozen." And Carolyn explains that drag queens like to model themselves after strong women who are, you know, confident enough to wear MC Hammer glasses and you know, purple pants and stuff like that. And, you know, we like strong women who can use one name, like Liza and Cher. "You are Peggy. You're fierce. Deal with it." Now Peggy's, like, feeling super confident, and now she's joining in on all the clothing exchange with the drag queens. And, you know, it ends on a happy note, because now, you know, it's, I guess, Peggy feels feminine again. It's a good point, because it's a bunch of men who are actively trying to look like women who really enjoy her clothing. So that makes her feel feminine, and it makes me feel happy that she, like, finds a place.
I also am like, Peggy's got some pretty cool stuff, like that vest with all the patches on it, and the, who doesn't want MC Hammer glasses?
Yeah. You know, it's not the ending that you would like, so to speak, but it is definitely, it's definitely a good ending. Like, I guess, in a sense, you kind of want it to end where, like, oh, Peggy's accepted by Min and Nancy and Luann. But, you know, in real life, that's not always how it goes. In real life, sometimes sometimes your tribe is a different group than what you think it is.
Yeah, I really like that. I really like that Peggy wasn't fitting in with Min and Nancy and Luann, but she found a community that does appreciate her style for the way it is.
Yes. And, you know, that's a lot of times that's it. Like, femininity and a lot of these things, masculinity, whatnot, are, like, not written in stone. They are definitions that work for, you know, that mean different things to different people. That's just the reality. Like, you know, there are some guys who really like the super dolled up girls, but I don't, like, this is me personally, like whenever I'm on a dating app and you see a girl who quite frankly probably has been using like an Insta or Snap filter on their things and they look like super dolled up and stuff like that, it makes me lose interest. So, you know, there's different definitions to femininity. So, you know, Peggy found with people who are interested in like stronger women, and that's still feminine. Like that just because she's not, you know, wearing an expensive gown or whatnot out doesn't mean that she's not a woman.
Yeah. And I feel like, not to hate on the other women, like the Nancy and Min and everything, but I feel like these drag queens are going to have more of Peggy's style. Like, when you think of Peggy, she is an individual. She kind of marches to her own drum, and she, like, has her own way of doing things. And I feel like she'll find more things she'll enjoy with this group.
Absolutely. I think this is a crowd she'll fit in with. Like, and that's really a life lesson for all of us. Like, it's more important for you to find your tribe than to try to fit into a group that you don't belong in. And, you know, because you don't belong in it doesn't necessarily mean there's something wrong with you or there's something wrong with them. It's like you just go to a different beat than other people, and you just got to find what works for you. You know, that's, there's nothing wrong with that. But yeah, ultimately I liked it because she is, you know, she kind of, I wouldn't say redemption, but it kind of works out for her in the end. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I think all the jokes that are at her expense, you know, I laugh at them too. But at the very end, she lives in it, you know, like, she's like, yeah, you're right, this is me. I am just Peggy.
Yes, I am Peggy, and I am fierce. Hear me roar.
Yes.
Yep, absolutely being confident, which is something you have to love about her at this point. But yeah, I love this episode. I love every King of the Hill episode, or almost every King of the Hill episode. There are some episodes I don't care for at all. But this is definitely a good one because Peggy, we actually get to see Peggy as a human, I feel like, with this episode. Like, she's not a, you know, she's not a caricature. She's not this overly confident, annoying person that we know her in some episodes. Like, she's just a human being who has vulnerabilities and some confidence issues, like most of us do and everything. Like, it's just nice to see that. I don't have anything else. How about yourself?
No, this is a great episode. It's probably one of my favorites to rewatch. So definitely check it out if you haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, indeed. And next week, we are going to cover The Bluegrass is Always Greener. So that will be a fun one. That is a very Connie and Bobby heavy episode. So yeah, we'll have a good one watching that. Until then, I'm Jason.
I'm Jimmy.
Bye.
Bye.